and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT News, and I'm joined, as always, by Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello and welcome, Ed.
Hi, Jennifer. Great to be with you, as always.
It is always good to have you here. And, you know, I'm really appreciative that you find time in your busy schedule to come have these conversations, because you're president of a university. That's a lot of time and work.
But it's so thought-provoking, and that's what we want to do. The president of a university should always be provoking thought. So it's great.
Well, I think we accomplished that here. But, you know, that makes me wonder, do you get to teach a class? I mean, do you have time to do that?
Yes. I don't have time to do it, but I do it anyway. I don't have time to do a lot of things that I do. Absolutely. You know, when I was given the great honor and opportunity to become the 15th president of Southwestern University, people said to me, well, you know, gee, Ed, you're going to leave a 30-year teaching profession and become an administrator. And I said, no, I don't want to be an administrator, and I don't think of myself as an administrator. I think of myself as a leader in education. And so that means that everything that I do has to be student-focused. And all my thoughts require the kind of engagement with where the students are and what they need and what we can give them. And that includes teaching. So last year, I taught Calculus 1. I like to teach one class a year. Uh-huh. That's all I really can do.
Yeah.
So last year, I taught Calculus 1. I had 37 students, which at Southwestern is huge. Our calculus classes at Southwestern usually average around 10 to 12.
Yeah.
But I refuse to say no to anyone. If you want to take a class with Southwestern's president, you can take a class with Southwestern's president. And so I had 37. I started off with about 40, by the way.
Yeah.
And then the first day of class, they met Monday nights for 3 hours. Can you imagine calculus? 3 hours Monday night?
That's a long haul.
It's like happy hour. But what happened was, the first day of class, they thought it'd be so much fun to take a class with Ed Berger and the president. And they realized, oh, it's still calculus. So I lost three students. But still, 37 is huge, huge class. This semester, I'm actually doing something I've never done before.
Oh, what's that?
I'm teaching a course that's not really math. And it kind of is talking about our entire series here. The course focuses on thinking. It really focuses on amplifying their thinking. The course is called Effective Thinking and Creative Puzzle Solving.
Oh.
It's very weird. It's very weird in that it's not tethered around any particular suite of content. It's really all about having them focus on their mind, their thinking, their creativity, their imagination, and their innovation.
So when they come to class, what do you do?
Right. So that's a good question. If only I knew. We meet Monday nights for 2 hours, and then we meet on Fridays for about an hour and a half. And different things happen at those different times. The course is giving them opportunities to practice practices of thinking, habits of mind. And so there are several aspects of the course. Every week I give them puzzles. So these are like logic, kind of brain teaser, mind teaser things.
Not unlike our puzzles.
In fact, exactly like them, but none of them, I've not stolen any of ours.
Okay.
Because they could listen to them, and these are fresh puzzles for them.
Uh-huh.
And I give them 3 a week. That's it.
Oh.
And there's always one that's, I think, a very doable one, dare I say maybe an easy or kind of less challenging. Then there's a kind of a medium challenging, and then there's a ridiculously challenging.
Yeah.
The puzzles that you and I do are somewhere between the kind of medium and easy challenging.
Uh-huh.
I've never given you a really crazy one.
Well, the infinity one that we just worked through
all right,
a few
touche.
Past episodes
touche.
Was pretty
all right.
challenging.
That might have been challenging. Okay. So I give them the 3. Now, what their job is, they have to, on their own, without looking up with other resources, internet and so forth, they have to resolve the challenges. Here's just one element that makes the class weird. The following week, they turn their solutions in. But if you don't have it done yet, like suppose you spent a whole week thinking about this really, really, really hard, challenging one, and you don't have it, from my vantage point in this course, it's more important that you eventually figure it out than you turn it in on Monday. So in fact, and this is a weird thing, you can, instead of giving the solution to that third one, you can give what I call an interim status report.
Oh, sort of how your thinking is going.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. So how much time you spent and what you tried and all the failed attempts. You know, I'm a big fan of effective failure. Uh-huh. So all the failed attempts, what you learned from those failed attempts, this didn't work, that didn't work, this didn't, and then a strategy for what you're going to use the next week to try to conquer it. If you want to roll this one over to the following week, you can give another status report. I don't care. But these status reports have to be robust, and they have to prove that you've really been actively engaged. If you're just kind of saying, I'm busy that week and I'm going to punt, then that's it.
That's
game
not
over.
It. Yeah.
So that's a weird part of the course. Another weird part of the course is that I've introduced mindfulness as one of the components of the class.
So how does that look? What are you
doing?
Well,
you can practice, you know, of course, you know, people have been writing about mindfulness in the media for years now. Medical studies have shown that the brain physiologically operates differently if you take the time to be mindful than if you don't. Connections are made in your brain, and also you just become more relaxed and more recharged and more joyful. And whether you call this meditation or whether you call this a quiet time, it has to be a time where you're awake. You can't say, I'm taking a nap and that's my mindfulness. No, you're mindful when you are conscious and active, but you are quiet and centered. There are many ways to do this. I don't suggest or tout a particular way, but they have to find a way of their choosing. And I offered a variety of possibilities, and I even offer individuals that can help them if they want. You know, how could I meditate, or how could I be quiet, sit still for 10 minutes a day? They do that 10 minutes a day as part of the course. So again, it's trying to impact how their mind works, how their brain works.
So these are some different approaches to teaching a class that seem uniquely well suited to the kind of topic at hand. But do you see these as things that could bleed into other disciplines, other kinds of
Not only could, but should. They should be front and center in our curriculum. Gets back to a while back, we talked about the 20-year question.
Yes.
I know they're going to forget the calculus. I know they're going to forget the year of this particular revolution. That's a fact. But if we teach them these habits, these practices of analysis, these practices of creativity, these practices of thinking, they can then use that to be far more successful in whatever their life's adventure is going to be. This course, in fact, has no content except these mind teasers. And then on Fridays, the other weird part of the course is I bring in speakers from around the nation. So I bring in world leaders, I bring in international investors, I bring in opera singers, I bring in physicians, I bring in young people like law students, I bring in alums from Southwestern, I bring non-alums, business people, and they come in and they share a bit of their life story and how their minds work and how they think and how they deal with adversity and the failures they've had and how they've learned from them. And then those guests speak on Friday for only about 20 or so minutes, and the rest of the time gives the students, my students, and by the way, I've got 55 students. That is about 3.5% of the entire student body at Southwestern University is taking this class. Again, I say there's no, you know, enrollment cap, and so it's one of the highest enrolled classes, as you can imagine, at Southwestern. But they're all in there. They're all in there swinging. But the rest of the time with the guest, they practice creating questions, which we've talked about,
yes,
I think, last season. The art of creating questions. And so the speaker, the guest speaker, these, you know, big name people come in for, speak for 20 minutes, and the rest of the time, my students are just pelting them with interesting, thought-provoking questions to engage their mind, to practice the habit of creating questions.
So what do the students think of this? This is so different than a usual class.
They're certainly finding it to be the weirdest class they ever took. But it gets back to kind of memorable. I think they're going to remember this, and they're certainly enjoying it. I think they're enjoying the challenge of it. I think that it's very uncomfortable for them. They're not allowed to talk to other people. So, you know, so there's a total of about 18 or so questions. Only about half of them they can work on with friends from the class. So they're not even allowed to share the puzzles. Forget about the solutions. They can't even share the puzzles with people outside the class.
So they've got to really reason through some of this
on
their own.
And it's got to be a totally introspective experience just for them.
Okay.
So it's weird.
Okay, so I'm hearing all about the puzzles in the school class. I'm getting jealous now. So let's get to our new puzzler this week.
All right.
I want to hear it.
I'm going to give you one that's kind of on the easy to medium side. This is not a crazy one.
Okay.
All right. So imagine that there are three individuals. Maybe they're like three members of a band.
Okay.
And these aren't the sharpest pencils in the drawer.
Okay.
Whatever. Not. By the way, not that people in music are not brilliant and creative. So these are very exceptional, you know, surprisingly dim-witted musicians.
Okay.
And so they check into a little motel to spend the night after a concert. Okay. And they're going to share a room because they're not doing so well because they're dim-witted. Right?
Okay.
And so they find this little teeny motel, $25 a night.
Wow.
Cheap, right? So they each, so there's like a manager. One of the three acts like the manager. And so they each put in $10.
Okay.
They give it to this one of the members of the band, right? The manager guy. So now the manager is holding $30.
Yes.
Gives it to the person at the front desk.
Yes.
So now the person's going to give back $5 and change because it's $25.
Yes.
Okay. And gives back so that the clerk gives to this manager guy five singles.
Okay.
Okay, five singles. And so the manager realizes that, you know, this is not the sharpest band in the world. And so immediately the manager pockets $2.
Okay.
All right?
Yes.
Leaving the manager with three.
Yes.
Turns to the other two members of this band.
Yes.
And says, okay, look, guys, we've got $3 in change. That's a dollar for each of us. I give you a dollar. I give you a dollar. And then I'll take this dollar for myself.
Uh-huh.
Do you see?
Yes.
Okay. And everyone's happy because these aren't the sharpest,
right.
Uh-huh. Brightest bulbs in the firmament.
Yes.
All right. So the clerk who's watching all this little deceit tries to kind of figure this out. And so he says, okay, now let's think about this for a second. So each person put in $10 but got a dollar back. So that means they each contributed $9.
Right.
There were three of them. So that's 9 times 3. That's $27, right? And then that guy skimmed off $2 to begin with. So that's another $2, which is now 29. 27 plus 2 is $29. But we started with 30. So what happened to that dollar?
There's a missing dollar.
There's a missing dollar. And the question is, can you figure out where the missing dollar went?
All right.
That is the riddle.
All right.
There you go.
So we just have a few minutes left here. And I want to ask one more question about the class, about effective thinking through puzzles. We've talked a lot in past episodes about grades and evaluation and all of that. And I'm wondering, how do you evaluate students when they're learning to think and flexing their thinking and creative muscles, their brains? First of all, do you even evaluate them in a class, and how do you do that?
Yeah, well, first of all, my philosophy in life as an educator is never let assessment get in the way of any creative pedagogical idea you may have.
Uh-huh.
Figure out
yes.
the assessment later. So they do get graded. They're graded on the puzzles. They have to write their solutions, the clarity, how clearly they articulate themselves and how correct they are. So it has to be clear, correct, and complete. But also there's another assignment. They write some essays. So I grade the essays just like any other reflective mm-hmm. paper you would grade in any other humanities type class. But they also have this thing called PET. Practices of Effective Thinking. And what they do for this homework assignment is every week, besides the puzzles, they have to turn in this,
mm-hmm.
which is a homework assignment from another class they're taking, where they have to highlight, circle, or celebrate how the thinking and practices from our class infected the solution or the essay or the lab report or the piece of art that they generated in the other class. So what I'm measuring is impact in their lives and in their other courses and their other directions. And the grade is really measuring change. And of course, the point of education is change. And so that's what I'm measuring in this class.
Do the students ever get to make up puzzles? Will they have the chance to do that?
The answer is no, not yet.
Not yet.
But I love that idea. Students create
puzzles. You might get some really interesting creations there.
That is a great idea. I'm even going to give you credit. Jennifer Staten's idea. No, they don't do it this semester, but in a future course, I love that idea.
Maybe
Thank
we
you.
Could use a puzzle or two of theirs for future
I love
higher
that.
Ed episodes.
Look at you. You see? You look at the brilliance that you exude. I take full credit for that.
Okay. Well,
that takes guts, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Sorry.
Thank you, Ed, for helping us keep our brain sharp and for helping us come up with brilliant new ideas each week. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu or stop by campus.
Come to my class.
Come to the class. You can also keep your brain sharp by keeping up with the news at KUT.org. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT News.